Welcome to Case in Point, produced by the University of Pennsylvania Carey Law School. I'm your host, Matt Merrin, and I'm the Multimedia Coordinator from the Communications Department. And my guest today is the James G. Dinan University Professor, Herbert Hovenkamp. He joins us to discuss the Department of Justice's lawsuit against Google. This week, the DOJ filed an antitrust lawsuit against Google. Can you explain the specifics of the lawsuit? And why is the DOJ bringing suit against Google?
Yes, there's been a lot of talk in both Congress and elsewhere about going after the four big platforms. And that's Google, Facebook, Apple, and Amazon. And so this is the first lawsuit. The Federal Trade Commission has already suggested there's going to be a lawsuit against Facebook. Haven't heard yet about the other two platforms. The focus of this lawsuit, it's a monopolization case, which means you bring it against a firm that dominates in its market. The market in this case is Google search. It's general purpose search and search advertising. And Google's alleged to have somewhere up to 80% of those markets. And the gist of the lawsuit is that Google maintains a very large share of the search market by kind of stacking the deck in favor of Google search when customers have to make choices. So for example, the default search engine in an Android device is always Google search. Google owns Android, so all of the various phones and tablets out there that use Android use Google search. And then Google also pays a lot of money, more than $1 billion a year, to Apple in order to make Google search the default search engine on the iPhone. Those are two things in particular that the complaint focuses on. So the result is that virtually every cell phone with search capabilities sold in the United States has Google search as the default. The only real exception is a minuscule group of smartphones that use the Microsoft operating system, but the Microsoft operating system has not been very successful.
So what precedent is there in this case as it relates to the suit against Microsoft in 2000?
Well, this is a claim that has to do with contract terms, various kinds of agreements that steer customers towards Google search. The Microsoft case, which is now 20 years old, had a somewhat analogous set of arrangements that were designed to force both software developers and OEMs, computer manufacturers, to prefer Internet Explorer, which at that time was Microsoft's browser. Now, one difference is that currently Google has a dominant position in search in the Google search engine. The Microsoft case started out a little bit differently because at the time Microsoft began its strategy, Netscape, which was a competitor, had the dominant position in internet browsing. And so Microsoft was really trying to take the market away from Netscape, which it did with a number of strategies that basically forced software writers, producers of applications. We didn't call them apps back then. There was no smartphone yet. But applications writers had to write in a way that would prefer Internet Explorer if their program engaged the internet. And then there were a bunch of agreements with computer manufacturers like Dell or HP to favor Internet Explorer when they assembled computers and installed Windows. And the result was fairly dramatic. Market share shifted away from Netscape, which eventually folded, and shifted towards Internet Explorer. So this case, Google already has a dominant position in search. And now it's trying to make sure that it retains that dominant position by limiting consumers' ability to use a different search engine.
What does this mean for everyday Google users?
It's hard to say because the complaint is not real specific about what kind of relief it asks for, but I think the most likely relief that the complaint contemplates is removal of Google search as a dominating feature by taking away its default status. Now that involves a couple of things. So one thing that could happen is the payment to Apple could stop, and at that point, Apple would no longer be obligated to prefer Google search as a default search engine. The other thing would very likely be to provide for consumers choice when they buy their Android phones. Now, the EU has already done a version of that. Basically, if you buy an Android phone in the EU today, you get an extra startup screen when you buy your new phone. And on that startup screen, you select the search engine, and that becomes your default search engine. There's actually an example given in the EU website of that screen, and it shows Google, Yahoo, Bing, DuckDuckGo, and then there's also a blank line at the bottom where you can type in the URL of some other search engine if you would prefer to have it. So the thinking would be that the Android customer would have a choice of search engines at the time that they buy their phone. And that would be one way to limit Google's favored position in search engines. Now, Google's defense to all of this is to say, well, okay, but they're only defaults. And pretty much any intelligent computer user can opt away from a default. And that's certainly true. On both Android and Apple phones, you can add additional search engines. You can have as many as you want. The Apple Store for iPhones and the Google Play Store for Androids both list several search engines. And you can do exactly the same thing on your desktop or laptop computer. And here, I can give you kind of a preview of what I think the evidence will end up showing. And that is that defaults are pretty sticky on small handheld devices. The vast majority of people who buy an Android phone or an iPhone that has Google search pre-installed stick with it. That's not the case with desktops and laptops. And the case in point is Windows 10 desktops and laptops. So-called IBM compatible computers or Intel-based desktops and laptops that are sold with Windows 10 all come with Microsoft's own products pre-installed. So they have Edge pre-installed as a browser and Bing pre-installed as a search engine. And right now, 70 to 80% of the people who buy a Windows machine, they turn it on, they engage the internet just long enough to download Chrome, and they then use Chrome as their browser, and they select Google search as their default. So in the case of desktops and laptops, people are opting in to Google search. And so nothing I think that this lawsuit contemplates is going to solve that problem, except one thing that the government is alleging is that one of the reasons Google is so popular is because search quality is a function of the size of the information database that you have. The more information you have about searchers, the better the quality of your search. And that means that a database with a large body of searchers is always going to have certain advantages over a smaller one. And Google has become very, very good at playing that. You know, if you use Google search regularly, they know your demographics, they know your age, they know your politics, they know your food preferences, they know your location. So if you just get a search for restaurants, it's going to give you restaurants close to where you are. And those are advantages that don't come from being the default, but simply from being the biggest. It's not clear that the change in the default will have a dramatic change in Google's market share. I mean, it still would be a choice. If you bought an Android phone and you got a choice of four or five search engines, you still might choose Google. And there might not be all that much bleeding of market share away from Google in response to search choice. And of course, we already know that the great majority of Windows 10 users select Google, even though when they buy their machines, it comes with Microsoft products. It's kind of hard to predict what Apple would do. Apple currently is paid a lot of money to make Google its default search engine. And once that cash spigot stopped, Apple would still have to choose which search engine to be its default. And it might do the same thing that Android does, which is have a choice screen, and people would get to pick which search engine they wanted.
If the court rules in favor of the DOJ, how will the verdict impact Google? How about competing companies?
It's hard to say because there's a lot of conflict and ambiguity in the record about, I don't mean the record in this case because we don't have a record yet. But in terms of overall experience, how much of Google search results from the selection of the default and how much of the preference for Google search results from the fact that people just prefer Google search? I don't know the answer to that question. And I think it is true that there will be some loss of market share on the part of Google search. I think it's quite possible, however, that Google search will remain the biggest of the search engines, at least for the time being, even when people have a choice of search engines. Now, there's another impact we should at least mention as a possibility, and that is that the Democrats want to bring a broader case. That was true of the Democrats in Congress. A bunch of Republican attorneys general signed on to this case with the Justice Department, but none of the Democratic states did. And the biggest states, California and New York, did not sign on. Now, we've got an election coming up. Good chance Biden will win. If Biden wins, there's going to be a Democratic antitrust division, and this will be a Democrat in charge of the Justice Department. And there will be plenty of time to amend this complaint and make it broader. And so, you know, one possibility in the future is that if the Democrats win the White House, this complaint will be amended and they might end up asking for more than the current complaint asks for. For example, there's been a lot of complaining about Google's purchase of small internet startup firms. That is not covered by the current complaint. There was some demands made from the other side of the aisle for Google to spin off Chrome or to break up Google in some other way. Nothing like that is explicit in this complaint, but a future complaint amended by a Democratic Justice Department might ask for more than the current complaint asks for.
And you kind of alluded to my bonus question, because it does seem like there is a lot of discussion around the big tech companies and the power that they've consolidated in America and beyond. How can this verdict potentially affect other major players in big tech?
It's hard to say. Let me tell you, there's one big difference. You know, when we talk about the big automobile makers, for example, the big automobile makers all make very largely the same product. That's not true of the big digital platforms. They all sell on the internet. They all have a lot of digital content, but they're very different from each other. Amazon, you know, outside from its business in ebooks and stream music and software, is mainly a hardware seller, sells devices, groceries, and those kinds of things. It doesn't have a huge search engine. It has some cloud business, and there might be some antitrust activity respecting the cloud. Facebook is a little more, has some more problems because it does have a fair amount of domination in a market for social media. And so I think we may see some activity there. Apple is kind of a creature unto itself. It doesn't have any open source software. Everything is proprietary. It has not made any choice of a Google search engine except for the receipt of this money from Google. Once that stops, if that happens, then Apple will have to decide what it wants to do about search. Apple is in some trouble, as is Google, for monopolizing the market for app sales through handheld devices. So, for example, if you own an iPhone and you want to add a piece of software that costs money, an app that costs money, the only way you can get it is through the App Store, through the iPhone Store. And Apple takes a 30% cut of everything that's sold through the Apple Store. And Google does exactly the same thing with Google Play. They take about a 30% cut of software that's sold through Google Play. And there's been a lot of grousing, and currently there are lawsuits against Apple requesting that Apple permit competing software stores to be located on the Apple platform so that iPhone users can get their software from more than one source. And there might be more price competition than in royalties or commissions. Those are things that could happen in the future. I don't expect a significant restructuring of any of these companies, but really, you know, some kind of specific identification of anti-competitive agreements, like the exclusivity provisions for the Apple Store, Google Play, and I think it will be largely limited to that. So there might be, there will be, I think the bottom line is that users of platforms of all kinds will have more choices with respect to search engines and so on. And that's going to have a bigger impact on small devices like handhelds. It's not going to have all that big an impact on desktops and laptops, because customers are already making those kinds of choices.
Thank you very much for your interview today. Just one final question before I let you go. What are you optimistic for in 2021?
A little saner policy about dealing with COVID would be one thing. Infrastructure would be another thing. I think we need investment in infrastructure. And I think depending on the outcome of the election, we might get that. So I'm optimistic about those things. I'm hopeful, at least.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining us today on Case in Point.
Thank you. Appreciate it.